The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, and welcome to this season's third edition of The Undercurrent. Nice to be back with you. I'm Tara Sloan, and wow, is it so great to have the season underway. So you know I'm recording this the morning of Game 3, so we've seen two games from the Sharks so far. The season opener, the new Sharks looked a little bit like the old Sharks, not necessarily a full 60-minute effort, but Game 2 against Colorado, well, that game gave me hope. It was a disappointing end, to be sure, but a great effort, a record-breaking performance from goaltender Mackenzie Blackwood. Just so nice to see some fire from the team. So let's hope that continues. Something we've been talking about a lot on the TV broadcast, no doubt we'll be talking about this through the course of the season, the number of players on the Sharks squad this year who are looking for a fresh start. This is kind of a redemption story for a lot of these players. My guest on this podcast is one of those. Anthony Duclair has an opportunity to make a huge impact with the Sharks this season. He had a career season with Florida in 21-22, then suffered an Achilles injury. It took him out for most of last year, but he still managed a great contribution to the Panthers' Stanley Cup run. So he has a lot of potential now going into his 10th season in the NHL. Wow. He also makes a huge impact off the ice. He's a member of the Hockey Diversity Alliance. He runs the Anthony Duclair Foundation. Their mission is to ensure that Black, Indigenous, and people of color children are granted safe and equal access to playing hockey in North America. And as the child of Haitian immigrants growing up in Montreal, he really knew firsthand the barriers to entry, racism, culture, cost that hockey can sometimes present. So he really does incredible work. I really like him. I think he's a great addition to this team, hockey-wise and personality-wise. I so look forward to seeing what he can do. Take a listen.
Well, first things first, welcome to San Jose.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
How's it feeling?
Feels great. Feels great. Weather's nice. Boys are great. Acclimated to the system, to the team, and looking forward to getting the season started.
Who's helped you kind of get your bearings here?
I guess it's a mixture of guys. I mean, I'm just asking questions all over, just to, you know, the guys that have been here a while, you know, guys like Mario, you know, Tommy Hurdle, and Cooch has been a big help. And but you know, for the most part, it's been pretty easy transition. To be honest, guys have been great. It's been pretty easy to, you know, come into this locker room.
I heard Jumbo gave you some kind of pointers about the area.
Yeah. He was actually one of the first guys that called me right after the trade. You know, right after I talked to Greerzy, I think I talked to Jumbo, and you know, we had conversations about San Jose. We were pretty close when he was in Florida, and you know, it's just nice to, you know, come to a city where, you know, I know a few people. And obviously, him being still around the organization is huge, and you know, I know his family pretty well too, so it's been pretty fun.
Does it almost feel like home? I mean, obviously, you know, it takes a little longer maybe to completely acclimatize, but it's feeling good?
No, I feel great, yeah, and that's obviously my priority, you know, before every season, just to, you know, feel as comfortable as possible. You know, you got to be here for, you know, a full season, so you know, everything off the ice, you want to make sure that you know, you come here before camp and, you know, just meet the fellas and you know, have a good time with them and, you know, build some chemistry, and then you know, off the ice, you know, try to get your place ready and ready to go.
So, I mean, you've had a really interesting couple of years because you had a career high in Florida, you suffered the Achilles injury, then you come back with an absolute vengeance, you tear it up during the playoffs into the finals. How excited and ready to go are you?
Yeah, very excited. You know, last year was the first time in my career, you know, even since I was a little kid, I missed training camp, missed the start of the season, so you know, that was a huge blow for me just because, you know, I take offseason pretty serious, and you're always looking, you know, as an athlete to, you know, you know, get better from the year before. And You know, I wasn't able to do that. I was, you know, obviously stuck rehabbing and stuff. And it was, you know, it was a long battle. It was tough. It was a grind. But at the same time, I think I learned a lot. And just, you know, just having more knowledge about the body and how to prepare myself and stuff like that. So, you know, in a way, it was kind of a blessing. I got hurt. And you know, when I came back, you know, obviously, huge shout out to the, you know, training staff in Florida that helped me, you know, through that, you know, tough injury. And, you know, that run was obviously unbelievable and a great experience for sure.
You said the injury was a blessing. So what did you learn about yourself?
I mean, just starting about, you know, preparation, you know, now, you know, just because of that torn Achilles, you know, it's something you have to, you know, keep working on. And that preparation, you know, before practice, before games, has just changed dramatically. Even, you know, night before games and stuff like that, you know, you got to stretch it out and things like that. So, you know, I learned a lot about hydration, about, you know, stretching, stretching methods and, you know, even the stuff I eat, my nutrition and things like that, just to, you know, obviously it was to help the injury, but, you know, I think just overall lifestyle, I think it's helped me a lot. And, you know, I did those changes dramatically this summer and, you know, I really feel a difference when I'm out there. So it was great.
That's awesome. I want to know where it all began for you. I know, I mean, you're a Montreal kid, or you're a West Island kid, actually. So those who know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you grew up
in
Pointe Claire.
Yeah, exactly.
But I also know that your family's a football family. So why hockey for you?
I mean, just coming from Montreal, I mean, that's what you do, right? You know, you learn how to skate at a really young age. I think my dad put me in skates at 2 years old. And like you mentioned, come from a football family. You know, my dad and my uncle play football. And even my uncle played CFL. And, you know, for myself, my dad tried to put me in football. But I think, you know, not that I didn't like it, but I loved hockey so much that I didn't want to, you know, take part of any other sport, to be honest. But just learning, you know, and watching the Habs, you know, obviously my favorite team growing up, and we all know how big it is over there. So it was pretty easy to catch on and, you know, learn from players and stuff like that. And just, you know, growing up, you know, playing pond hockey outside, you know, with my cousins and you know, close friends that live nearby, it was obviously something we do regularly. And, you know, anytime you can get out there, it's a blast with the, you know, your friends.
Who was your favorite player? Who did you want to be?
I was two. I was probably Sagan Koivu, obviously, you know, captain of the Habs, and then Joe McGinley. You know, two guys I looked up to. I actually remember when Saku came back from his game from cancer, and just the standing ovation that was had before the game was actually an unbelievable moment I remember to this day. And you know, obviously Jerome being first black captain in NHL history is, you know, someone I looked up to. And you know, just as a young black kid, you know, you aspire to be that one day for sure.
So, funny story about me. So I know this interview's about you, but so in my previous life, I was a singer.
Okay.
And so I used to do some anthems, and I did an anthem on March 2nd, 2002. So Saku had gone through treatment and was just about to come back. He didn't come back that game. So it was a Montreal-Toronto game at the Bell Center. And they were honoring a bunch of Olympians, and Saku came out, I think, probably for the first time and stood at center ice, and it was deafening. Mm-hmm. So what an inspiring story.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it was great.
Anthony, you've been really open about your experiences as a young black player, often, I would say, the only one on the ice, and your family, often the only black family in the stands, and pain of the racism that was hurled at you sometimes. Why are you so open about that?
I just feel like it's my duty to be open. And I know I just, you know, there's a lot of parents that reach out still to this day. You know, I get a bunch of messages, you know, every year about, you know, their kids, you know, going through the same thing I've been through, same thing my little brother went through. And you know, to be where I am today in my position, where kids are looking up to me now, I think it's just my duty, and you know, to be there for them. You know, I think with technology we have these days, it's a little easier to connect with you know, people, and you know, just making sure that they're okay, making sure that they're safe. And I mean, you get to the sport because it's fun, right? You just enjoy playing the game. And you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, you kind of take a step back. And you know, there's so many cases where, you know, kids have you know, quit hockey, and to me, that, you know, that's heartbreaking, because, you know, I've been that kid, and I know how it feels. I know how, you know, you can be lonely and stuff like that. But If I can, you know, reach out and say a few words of encouragement, and you know, I've seen it before where parents have told me that, you know, their kid is not going to be quitting hockey anymore and actually loving the sport even more. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, you want to help the younger generation, you know, be the best it can be. And even if they're not going to, you know, succeed in hockey, you know, it's going to take that life lesson and, you know, bring that to, you know, whatever they do in life. So, you know, for myself, I just want to be that good role model and, you know, someone they look up to.
Well, and the work you do off the ice certainly exemplifies that. We'll talk about your foundation. But I want to know, just, you know, as a kid going through that with your family, how do you process that and, I guess, come out the other side and actually just continue on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation for sure. At the same time, I just tell them, you know, keep believing your dreams and don't let anybody, you know, tell you what you can and can't do. You know, you decide your future and, you know, just have fun. You, like I said before, you get in the sport because you love it. So if you really love it, you know, keep working at it and, you know, surround yourself with good people. And so always surround yourself with, you know, people that have good intentions and, you know, just, you know, be a good person. Doesn't matter if, you know, people are disrespecting you or stuff like that. Keep being a good person, kill them with kindness. And, you know, as you get older and, you know, your people are going to mature and people are going to, you know, see the good side of you are. And, you know, hockey world's a small world. So, you know, you're going to eventually cross paths with a lot of people that obviously have crossed paths with other people. And, you know, like I said, it's a tough situation, but, you know, if you listen to your parents and, you know, good things are gonna come out of it.
Well, obviously it's worked out pretty well for you. I was surprised to learn that actually you were going to take the USHL route and maybe go to BU, which is interesting. But you ended up in Quebec and then you're drafted by the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. I always look at that event as being as much about the families as it is about the kids who are being drafted. I want to know about that day for you in 2013, for you and for your family.
For the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the best day of my life, I would say. I was holding back tears, for sure. But, you know, like you said, it was a family event. And, you know, all the hard work and sacrifice my parents did for me, you know, growing up, obviously I didn't grow up with too much, but you know, you just see how much they worked, you know, for myself and my little brother, and how much they sacrificed, you know, put me out there on skates, and you know, couldn't thank them enough. And just seeing them, you know, being happy as I am, was a great, you know, time all around. And you know, I end up, you know, being awesome because, you know, the draft was in Jersey, we're staying in New York, and then I got drafted by New York, so it was just a great feeling. And you know, just to get drafted by, you know, original six team, top class organization like New York Rangers was, you know, just a cherry on top of the cake. So, yeah, just looking back, it was one of the best moments of my life for sure.
A lot of players talk about their welcome to the NHL moment. So for some, it's, you know, first goal, first whatever, or for others, it's first fight or first little talking to. Do you have one? Do you have a moment where you were like, I'm here? Yeah, I'm really here.
I would say probably my first game at MSG. I'll never forget it. I'm on the blue line, star lineup with Marty St. Louis and Rick Nash, and I think Dan Girardi, Mark Stahl, and Henrik Lundqvist. There's got to be a picture out there somewhere. And I'm just looking around during the national anthem. I'm like, oh my God, just like couldn't believe my eyes. I'm a 19-year-old kid, just eyes wide open. You know, you dream about these moments, you know, all your life. And you know, you just work so hard to get there, and just have the opportunity was unreal. And obviously, you know, your first goal is something you'll never forget, and to score that at home too was a great feeling for sure.
Butterflies, like in that moment when you're looking around and seeing those legends of the game?
Just excitement, nervous, you know, every emotion you can think of is all bundled up into one. And but mostly excitement, just want to get out there and just do well.
I think you're career is so interesting, not just because of what you've done on the ice, but some of the things you do and have done off the ice. And it took the hockey world by storm and by surprise when you decided to negotiate your own contract in 2020. First of all, most people don't want to touch that kind of experience with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to negotiate my own contract because those conversations are hard. Why did you do that?
To be honest, it was always something I've always wanted to do since I was young. But it was just a question of timing and when I was going to do it. And to be honest, COVID was a time where it was a really time of reflection. And for myself at the time, I was coming off, one of my best years, coming off my year in Ottawa, it was all-star, career high in goals at the time. And, for some reason, I just felt like I had more in me and I just didn't like the way my career was going. And, I just took a step back and just reviewed, everything that was going on in my life. And, it's just so much time off that, just a lot of thinking. And I just felt like that was the right time, even though people didn't think it was the right time to do that or at all, to be honest, because it was COVID and, we didn't know the uncertainties about, the next season starting and the cap, not moving and stuff like that. But, it was just a gut feeling and I just felt really confident about it. And, I'm not totally by myself. Obviously, I have some help, but just taking that next step and I just wanted to, take control of my own career. And it had nothing to do with, my old agency or stuff like that. It was just me, taking control in my own hands and me wanting to do what I want to do. And that's really it. And, it worked out for the better, signing in Florida where, I had a relationship with Bill Zito and where I encountered him in Columbus. And we had some great conversations and I just felt like, that was the right fit for me. And it was. So, obviously it took a while before I signed, but I did my due diligence. I did my homework. I don't think I wouldn't say it's something that's easy, but it's obviously a challenge. But, if you do your homework and you do your due diligence, you'll be fine.
But there's something extra in there, right? There's you have to have the confidence to do something that a lot of people are telling you shouldn't do, first of all. But there's a sense of self-advocacy that I don't know that everybody has. Where does that come from in you?
Probably my dad, to be honest. Just he's always been that type of man where he's doing things his way, and I think I get that from him. But also I just feel like I wanted to voice my own opinion, not have a third party to speak for me. And just talking to the GMs was a great experience. Just not really talking numbers, just telling who I am as a person, who I am as a player. They obviously seeing you who you are as a player, but just explaining them who they would sign, was huge for me, and just letting them know, my side of the story and, where I came from and things like that and what I had to battle through in my career. And I think that was important for me, for GMs to hear that, my side of the story. And, that's probably one of the big reasons why too as well. So just having the chance to, speak to them and directly was, I think, very important for me.
Will you negotiate your next contract?
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm planning to stay in my own agent for the rest of my career. So
good.
I like it.
Not that we're at all looking towards the end of your career on the ice, but I mean, is this something that you've thought, okay, maybe the business side of hockey can work for me down the road?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not too sure right now. Obviously my focus is to play hockey, but I like the idea of just working with kids. I think I'm really good with kids and stuff like that. I don't know about coaching, but more just like development and skill development, things like that. I think that's where I was striving, to be honest. I've already started thinking about it, but we'll see what happens with my future. But a lot of doors will open up for sure, I'm sure.
Well, that leads me perfectly then into the Anthony Duclair Foundation. How was it born?
Actually, like I said before, tearing my Achilles was kind of a blessing because, that's where it kind of started. Just like exactly, when I went to be my own agent, those years, in the making, starting my own foundation was also something I really wanted to do since I was a kid as well. So I've had a couple goals and now they're all coming to fruition. And with me being hurt, I'm doing rehab, the whole morning and then, the afternoon and night off. So with that, time, I didn't want to let it go to waste just because I knew it was a long rehab. It's going to be 6-7 months, they told me. So, it was a kind of a thing where Brett Peterson, assistant general manager in Florida, came up to me and said, hey, he had rented out this, rooftop kind of setup in Fort Lauderdale and during the Black History Month, and it happened to be, you know, the All-Star Weekend in Florida. So I just thought, okay, this is a perfect opportunity for me to start this. And, you know, I've been talking about it for years, and it's time for me to step up and actually do things. So, you know, started my foundation, made a few phone calls back home to my manager and my family, and they're all supportive. And we got to work, and we set up a nice fundraiser gala, and it was great. You know, GM, our owner, donated you know, a lot of money, and NHLPA came through and donated a lot of money, and a lot of few people, you know, from local people, you know, were really interested. And you know, that's what I wanted to do, and really to grow the sport, really grow the game, and attack the, you know, areas where, you know, they wouldn't really, you know, think about playing hockey. And you know, and then the kids that are playing hockey, you know, give them a sense of hope, and give them some guidance and stuff like that through hockey camps and you know, Zoom calls, or you know, whatever it may be. You know, the foundation is not just going to be, you know, one and done. It's going to be here forever, and I'm just looking forward to it growing every year.
What's the story of Duclair the Bear?
Oh yeah, Duclair the Bear, Imran. So his name is Imran Siddiqui. And one day I was scrolling through Twitter, and I got tagged from a parent and who had a kid, and the kid was holding a little bear with a Panthers jersey on it. And I guess the caption read that, you know, the bear, he called him Duke, and then the dad asked him why you call it Duke, because he's brown and he plays hockey like me. And you know, you see a lot of, you know, interactions with fans and stuff like that, but I think, you know, a tweet like that definitely hit my heart. And you know, another reason why I started my foundation, and you know, just to, you know, reach out to those kids, you know, easier, and just have a conversation with them, and just inspire them the most I can. And you know, kids like that, you know, that are looking up to me. Like I said, you know, I was that kid not too long ago, and I remember that feeling. Never really had the opportunity to, you know, communicate with NHL players, but I know if I had the opportunity, that, you know, I'd be blown away. So, you know, for them, I just wanted to give them the opportunity and see where it goes from there. And, you know, got the opportunity to meet him, I think a month or two later, off a little hockey clinic, and then he came to my hockey camp over the summer. So he's a great kid, you know, he was awesome, and you know, really glad that he tweeted that out.
So what kind of plans do you have for the San Jose, the Bay Area?
Not sure, to be honest, right now. I'm taking it day by day. I'm gonna, you know, talk to my manager back home, see what we're gonna do, but definitely looking forward to doing some stuff. I know we talked about maybe getting some suites, you know, for kids, and you know, for a couple home games, and inviting them there so we can do a meet and greet after the game, and things like that. And then it's going to grow from there. To be honest, you know, the sky's the limit. I don't really have, you know, too many limitations on what I can or can't do. So, you know, I'm open. I'm all ears.
That's great. Almost done, I promise you. But I want to talk about the Hockey Diversity Alliance, which was born in 2020. Was that a long time coming for you to have a collaboration like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, right when they formed, it was great. You know, it was something that was needed. I would think it was something that, you know, was long overdue. And I'm just so proud of those guys that stepped up and wanted to be part of that. I think we were all kind of thinking the same thing, and we all came together and actually executed it. And you know, a big reason also, again, my foundation, you know, came a lot of it because of HDA. And you know, just 3 years now, we've done so much good work. And huge shout out to Akeem Eliu, who's done unbelievable work. You know, you talk about a guy who's, you know, career cut short, you know, for numerous reasons. And you know, him taking that, you know, step, and you know, really being a leader for HDA, and you know, for the hockey community, and you know, for what he's doing and for what we're all doing here is great. And you know, we're really taking, you know, these kids, underprivileged kids that, you know, would love to play hockey but just don't have the means to, you know, even buy a hockey stick. You know, we're providing that for them. We're providing that equipment. We're providing the ice times, and you know, even travel, you know, and stuff like that. So You know, just seeing the reaction from kids, you know, through social media, through FaceTimes is awesome. And like I said, we're gonna keep growing. And I know we got a few projects that's gonna drop in a few months. So you know, we're in contact all the time, and you know, just very honored and proud to be a part of that for sure.
You're also a really outspoken group. I mean, there's a lot that's happening, you know, behind the scenes, but then there are statements that are being made. Do you think that we are entering a new era, an era where the player's voice really matters?
Most definitely. And I think that's the biggest thing, because things happen, you know, throughout, you know, a hockey season where, you know, you kind of usually in the past you push under the rug, and it's not going to work anymore, especially, you know, with the HDA formed, you know, where you want to be out there. And if, you know, incidents happen, we want to make sure that, you know, it's taken care of appropriately. And you know, we don't want any incidents to, you know, get pushed under the rug anymore. You know, it's long overdue, like I said. And you know, for us to come out with statements, and now, you know, it's current and past NHL players, so you kind of have to listen to these guys and listen, because, you know, we've been through that, you know, growing up. And even at the pro ranks, we still kind of see it. So, you know, for us, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I think these past 3 years have been a huge step forward for sure.
So last question for you. You're going on 10 years in the league. So what would you say is the biggest difference between rookie Anthony Duclair and veteran Anthony Duclair?
Yeah, it's crazy. Time flies, but I'm definitely just comfortable, way more comfortable. And, you know, just going, you know, new team, I just feel like, you know, I've been here for a while already. But, you know, just comfortability and, you know, just creating chemistry with the guys, you know, on and off the ice. I feel like that's the biggest difference, you know, as a, you know, rookie coming in. You don't want to say too much or nothing at all sometimes. You just could want to come, you know, to the rink and work hard and, you know, not say a word. But now I just feel more comfortable and, you know, just do my thing. And you know, biggest thing now is I see that, you know, young guys are looking up to me and, you know, asking me questions and stuff like that, where, you know, I still feel like I'm a kid. So, but you know, it's been awesome. It's a nice transition to you know, rookie to, you know, I would say young veteran. I don't want to say
young veteran,
I'm not
okay.
Too old yet, but yeah, no, it's been awesome. And you know, I think at this stage too, in your life and your career, you enjoy every day a little bit more. You know, we're all here temporarily. So for myself, I'm enjoying every single day. And, you know, obviously you try to play as long as possible. You know, longevity is obviously a goal in your career. But, you know, especially last year, I saw with my torn Achilles and, you know, days where, you know, I couldn't even walk. You start to question, you know, if you're going to come back or not. But, you know, now that I'm here and I'm back and fully healthy, I just want to make sure that I'm enjoying every second, because, you know, it's going to be, you know, over one day.
Well, this was an absolute pleasure. We are so happy to have you here, and merci.
Well, merci beaucoup.
So this is the entirety of the interview that Anthony and I did. An abbreviated or truncated version of this will be available in video form on The Deep coming out. So please stay tuned for that. I want to thank Anthony for his time. And hey, if you go to the games, already Sharks fans have been yelling Duke when he comes out on the ice. I can tell you, I asked him how he feels about that, and he absolutely loves it. So keep it coming. Thanks to all of you for listening. I will catch up with you next time. In the meantime, keep your fins above water. You know it.